You're listening to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts on New England's News and Talk Radio 830 WCRN. Once again, here's your hosts, John Featherston and Terry Hendricks.
Good morning, New England. 11:06, check those clocks, make sure they're right. It is 11:06, and you're tuned to All Politics is Local on WCRN 830. The distinguished-looking man sitting across from me, who looks very good for his age, as we just discussed, is Terry Hendricks. I'm John Featherston, and we are honored to have in studio, live in studio, with us Chanel Prunier, who is our Republican National Committee woman. Good morning, Chanel. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thanks for taking the time on a Sunday morning to come in and talk about everything. And let's jump right into it. You are part of the RNC. And Donald Trump seems to be dominating the RNC news. What are your thoughts?
Well, I personally supported Ted Cruz, voted for him and endorsed him. And while I'm not a Donald Trump supporter, I do think that he has a place in our party. I think that we need to be a big tent. And I think that he's energizing tens of thousands of people at rallies right here in Massachusetts. He got a tremendous number of votes in our primary. And we as a party here locally should be looking to make those people feel welcome, to invite them in. I support them having greater involvement in our party, and I think we need to be welcoming to those voters.
So a lot of violence lately at some of his events, and the way the media portrays it is a little bit interesting to me. I mean, you can say Terry and I are in the media nowadays, but Terry and I had the honor, we were with Ben White, executive producer of the morning show here on WCRN. We went to the Worcester DCU Center, and we saw violence back at these events.
Not much, though. It was pretty mild.
Well, there were about six people dragged out. That one gentleman that actually ran me over as they were running him out. There's been uncontrolled chaos at some of these events, even back in, when was that, back in November?
Yeah, it was cold, I can tell you that.
Yeah, it was back in November, and the media now just seems to be focusing on something that I'll say has been happening since back in September and November. I was up in New Hampshire when Trump first announced, and very, very nice event up there, and they escorted people out at that time, too. So I wonder if some of it is just the anti, you know, anything but Trump movement that's going on.
I think the media likes to keep the focus on Trump.
Yes.
I think there's sort of the way that people stare at a car crash. there's this fascination that they have. And you do see people removed from rallies, all kinds of candidates, removed from debates even, people that are party crashers, as they say. So I don't think it's necessarily a phenomenon that's exclusive to Donald Trump. I do think the media wants to talk it up because they just seem to like to let Donald Trump dominate the news cycle. And I think it's really unfortunate because we've got a number of great candidates still left with Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio and John Kasich. And I think they are looking to get their message out there increasingly. And it's harder and harder because of Donald Trump dominating that news cycle.
Well, he does sell papers and he does get ratings. You know, we were talking a little bit earlier in the program. You know, I'm a Midwestern Republican. I will tell you that I'm a conservative Republican on most of the issues. I'm concerned, and we were speaking with Grover Norquist earlier, that we don't have a true fiscal conservative running as the top of the ticket. I do like a lot about Ted Cruz, and you said you were a Ted Cruz supporter. I worry that Cruz isn't electable because he doesn't resonate with people. Some people call him creepy. Some people call him odd. I just, you know, he doesn't make me feel warm and fuzzy, but I like him on paper. Being from Ohio, I'm polling kind of for John Kasich at this point. Tuesday should be a very interesting day in Ohio. Depending on which poll you look at, Kasich's going to win, he's going to lose, and if he loses, he's out.
I think even if he wins, he's out.
Well, I agree.
I think mathematically, it's a very, very tough hurdle for him to climb.
Which is leading me up to my question. I mean, if Kasich wins Ohio, mathematically, Trump might have a hard time having enough delegates. We might have a broker convention. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I think this is one of the things that I've done as National Committee Woman is I fought very hard to keep our system of electing delegates here in Massachusetts. I think that, you know, they wanted to change the system so that the delegates would be appointed. I think generally in party politics or in electoral politics or anything really, when you go from electing people to selecting or appointing them, that has to raise some red flags. Who are you trying to cut out of the process? And I think the important thing here is we were able to keep that system, and it was a very narrow vote at our Republican State Committee, 37-35. But the people that will choose who represents all of us at the national convention, whether it's a brokered convention or not, will be Republican voters in Massachusetts. And I think that's an important distinction, and so I would urge all of your listeners to get involved in that process. The Mass GOP website lists all the caucus locations. The caucuses are going to be held on April 30th. You still have the ability to make your voice heard. And if it does go to a second ballot, who represents you? It's important who their second choice is. Somebody who's elected as a Trump delegate whose second choice is Kasich is very different than somebody who's elected as a Trump delegate whose second choice is Cruz, mm-hmm. And how they feel about a variety of issues and what they'll do once they're there at convention. And so I think it's good that we still have that. I cite it as one of my achievements from my race. And I think that as I started to say, the rules of these conventions impact greatly how the process plays out.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because I had the honor and the privilege of chairing the 2012 caucus in the Metro West area.
Yeah, the 5th Congressional District.
Fifth Congressional, and I was the chairman. And as the morning progressed, I'm looking around going, wow, look, what's going on here?
Yeah, it was interesting. Yeah.
And Rand Paul had organized a ground game that nobody expected. But me, a lover of democracy, I loved it.
Yeah. It's healthy for our party, I think, to have those people engaged, to have Trump supporters engaged, to have Cruz supporters engaged. You know, personally, organizing for anything, you learn new things, whether it's organizing to bring your supporters out to a caucus or organizing for a candidate. I'm sure in your first run for state representative, you learned a ton. And all of those experiences inform what we do later on. And so, you know, somebody that organizes their friends, regardless of who they support, to bring them out to a caucus, you know, that's somebody that is a future candidate for school committee or a future organizer of an RTC. And how do you find those people? Well, the presidential elections are a great opportunity. People are paying attention. Mm-hmm. People are engaged in the political process. There are issues that they care about being talked about on a daily basis by a lot of different people, and they want to participate in that process. And attending a caucus and supporting candidates or a candidate is one of those ways that we can engage those people.
Well, I'm going to try to be a delegate. Going to Cleveland one way or another. I'm going to Cleveland. I've already volunteered. John and I both have volunteered at the convention in Cleveland.
Yep.
That's my backup plan. But I'm running to be a delegate. I want to be a delegate to the RNC this summer in July.
My goal to make sure it happens.
Well, good for you. But you know, I'm looking for people to come to the caucus on April 30th, and ours is going to be in Natick. And I believe at the Elks Club, I believe in Natick. And so I'm encouraging people from the 5th Congressional District, and it's, I think, 24 communities, and kind of a diverse range of communities from Melrose to Ashland. And
that's so good. It's held in Natick. That's good.
Yes, it is. It's kind of my backyard. But still, I need to probably get 35 or 40, maybe 50 people come and raise their hand and say, yes, we want Terry to go to Cleveland.
So send Terry Hendricks to Cleveland. Bumper stickers are being printed as we speak.
By the way, that's not one way, by the way.
Yeah, I think your background, you know, certainly having a radio show, being involved in campaigns, being involved in the RTC really lends itself to being able to do that. And I think that's important. The caucus system rewards those individuals who have been, you know, involved before, and that you've met a lot of people who are Republicans and organized them before. So there you go.
I certainly have, and I have credentials. I've been elected before, even though it was a Water and Sewer Commission, but I've been elected. I've been on some town boards and, you know, a number of things. So I have a lot of, I think, solid credentials, and I'll be a fair delegate.
Yes,
you know,
you
I
will.
Realize that I might have to vote for Trump, at least on the first ballot. Maybe not. We'll see. Because basically Massachusetts on the Republican side is kind of split in the middle from Trump and the others, the way it fell out. So we'll see.
You're tuned to All Politics is Local here on WCRN 830. We're joined in studio by National Committee Woman Chanel Prunier. And we'll be back. We're going to talk all about RNC and even the upcoming race for State Committee Woman. You're tuned to All Politics is Local, WCRN.
You're listening to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts on New England's News and Talk Radio, 830 WCRN. Once again, here's your hosts, John Featherston and Terry Hendricks.
Good Sunday morning, New England. You're tuned to All Politics is Local, broadcasting from the broadcast center of WCRN 830. That guy right there, that's Terry Hendricks. I'm John Featherston, and we're also joined in studio by MassGOP National Committee Woman Chanel Prunier. Good morning, Chanel. Thanks for taking a couple minutes.
Good morning. Thank you again for having me.
So it's nice that you have the opportunity to explain to New England and the process of the delegate process at the convention and why it's important. So why don't we pick back up on that?
Well, so when Terry gets elected as a delegate,
thank you.
There are going to be a couple of other things that he gets to do in addition to representing us in Cleveland on the floor of the convention. The delegation from Massachusetts will also elect a man and a woman to serve on the Rules Committee from within the delegation, a man and a woman to serve on the Platform Committee to help with the drafting of the national platform, to serve on a variety of other committees. And, well, why are these positions important? Well, the Rules Committee in particular is going to set the rules for the convention. And what does that mean? That means that there are certain rules relative to placing one's name in nomination. In 2012 at convention, they changed the rule to have it, it used to be a plurality of five states, and you could place a plurality of delegates from five states, and you could place your name in nomination. They changed it to a majority of eight states. So right now, only Donald Trump is at that point. So it's entirely likely that the Rules Committee will convene to change that rule. And where they set that line will be important for the other candidates, because some will have not have a majority from even a single state. It's entirely possible, and because of proportional delegate allocations and things of that nature. You know, if they set it at four or five, well, maybe only Ted Cruz goes head-to-head against against Donald Trump. And so these are the decisions that are made by the Rules Committee, that are made by the that are elected by the delegates, that are elected by Republican voters in here in Massachusetts. So again, I'd urge everybody to get out on April 30th and let your voices be heard about all of these things.
So on April 30th, and I'm just asking the question so we can have the conversation, registered voter, of course, have to be registered in your particular Republican Party. You can show up at the caucus, kind of explain that day or that morning to people.
And you must have registered as a Republican by February 10th. If you were to register, I believe, subsequent to that, you don't make the list. And
No, that's right. Yeah, it's February 10th.
Okay. Thank you, Terry.
Basically, you should have been able to vote in this last primary.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you show up that morning.
And anybody can run. You could run from the floor. I've seen individuals decide that they just simply spur of the moment, wanted to get up and make a speech and run to represent a particular candidate that they believed in very deeply. And I've seen individuals who spent a lot of time calling their friends, calling their fellow town committee members to urge them to turn out. The individuals who want their names placed in nomination are able to do so. And there's no requirement that you get signatures ahead of time. Some people have asked me, well, you know, do I need any kind of paperwork other than being a registered Republican as of February 10th? And the answer is nope. You could just go and run from the floor. I wouldn't necessarily recommend that as a strategy. You would want to be organized. But there's no sort of legal prohibitions on doing that.
Well, so, it's funny, though. Excuse me, Terry. It's funny because, like I said, I chaired the 5th Congressional back in 2012. And one of the people who got elected, well, when do I get my plane tickets and my hotel reservations? Well, back up here.
Yeah.
You're on the dime for your hotel reservations and your plane tickets. Yes, you do. You are representing the RNC at the convention, but
yeah,
it's on your dime. It's not on the RNC's dime.
Yes, that is definitely an important point to make.
I think anybody that runs,
be prepared to foot your own bill, so to speak, which is the way it should be done, by the way. I think that people give their hard-earned money to either the state Republican Party or the National Republican Party or any of these organizations, their town committee. They don't want those dollars focused on flying somebody out to Cleveland. They want those dollars focused on electing Republicans at all levels, from the top of the ticket down to offices like state representative and selectmen, and supporting the Republican ticket rather than sending people to attend conventions.
Yeah, and it's probably a little bit expensive. I'm sure the hotels are going to be at a premium, so expect to pay probably $300 a night for a so-so hotel room.
My roommate went 4 years ago, and he said it ran him several thousand dollars.
Yeah, so it's probably an easy couple grand, easy.
This will actually be my first national convention.
Mm-hmm.
It's not typical to be elected to the RNC, having never gone to one, but I'm sort of an atypical RNC member, and this will be my first convention in Cleveland this July.
Well, it's definitely going to be historic from the sounds of it. I mean, I hope the hype meets the reality of it, because, you've never heard this early in the cycle in the last, 20, 30 years of broker convention. I don't think most people, I think 98% of the people out there don't even understand what a broker convention means. So it's going to be a lot of fun. What are your thoughts? Would you support a broker convention, or just you have to go along with it because you have to go along with it? What are your thoughts?
Well, I in a perfect world, we won't have a broker convention, because I think that there's a lot of people out there, as you said, that don't necessarily understand that. And I think that there's a lot of frustration in general with the party and with leadership in Washington. And I think that we would be better off when we would have fewer divisions if it's simpler and there isn't a brokered convention. That being said, I'm going to support the Republican nominee, whoever it is.
Absolutely.
You won't see me walking out and declaring, oh, I can't support whoever. Or I do think it would be we would increase frustration if it's not one of the individuals that are running right now, putting themselves and their ideas out there. If they were to try and put someone random like a Mitt Romney or a Paul Ryan in, I think that there would be a lot of outrage amongst people. And then that would not be a consensus pick. That would be a sort of a pick by no one. And the grassroots would be very upset.
Smoky backroom.
Right.
That's not.
And I don't think that's good for our party. I think that at the end of the day, we have to find a resolution among the candidates. Ideally, I would like it to be Cruz. I would like him to make it to the number of delegates that he needs in order to do that in the sort of traditional sense. But I'm prepared to support whoever the Republican nominee is.
And I think we all should. Whoever our nominee is, whether it's Donald Trump, Cruz, Rubio, Kasich, the last time there was a brokered convention was 68 years ago, and Thomas Dewey won that. Unfortunately,
were you at that one too?
No, that was before me. Actually, I was not at that, not alive then. And of course, depending on what you read in the newspaper, Thomas Dewey won or he lost, but he really lost.
He lost.
Even though the papers proclaimed him a winner initially. But things have improved. So it's not something that's happened very often. I think it's maybe something that hurts the Republican brand when it's, that contentious. So let's hope it's smooth. Whoever our nominee is, let's get them elected to the White House. Let's get them in there.
We want everybody to believe that their vote counts. We want everybody to feel like they were a part of a fair process and that we that resulted in a nominee in a transparent way. And I think that's what will carry us to victory in November. I think the Democrats have put forward a field that's terrible. And regardless of who we nominate, we're in good shape, because I think the voters don't trust Hillary Clinton. They don't like Hillary Clinton. Bernie Sanders' economic policies are so far out there. We're in good shape.
Well, you know, if you look at Bernie, Bernie is just scary.
He's scary.
He's that Democratic version in one sense of Donald Trump, in that he's anti-establishment. He's the anti-Hillary vote. Mm-hmm. The millennials, the younger voters, love him. I guess they like the idea of free college, but, you know, grow up, guys, grow up. And Hillary Clinton, 60% of America thinks she's a liar and 40% know it. So there you go.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Super Tuesday number two coming up this Tuesday.
Yeah.
If Trump runs the table, it seems to be it's going to be over. Terry and I were talking before we went on the air this morning. If you know, which poll do you believe coming out of Ohio? Is Kasich going to win? Is Kasich behind? Because we referenced, you know, 2 weeks ago, or last week, Hillary Clinton was up 20% in the polls in Michigan, and she ended up losing by almost 20 points.
Yeah.
So I wonder about the polling data. I mean, what are your thoughts, Chanel?
I think that that a lot of individuals have good ground games in Ohio as well, and you have to take that into account. I think that John Kasich will do extremely well. I think some of the other candidates can potentially garner some delegates as well. So I think it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, next Tuesday, the 15th, it's kind of Super Tuesday too. It's not as large a vote, but, you know, on the Republican side, it's 367 delegates up for selection, and on the Democratic side, 792. So,
but it is winner take all.
Well,
some.
Most of them are. Florida is winner take all. Illinois is proportional. Missouri and the Marianas are winner take all. Ohio's winner take all. North Carolina is, and Illinois are, parsed out according to the vote. Now, a lot of those have a floor. You have to win 15 or 20% to get anything. So it gets tougher as you go along. If we look at today, Hillary Clinton's got 1,231 delegates out of 2,383 that she needs. Bernie is way behind at 576. But there's almost 3,000 more to go. On the Republican side, Trump has 460 delegates, and he needs 1,237. So he's got a long way to go. Ted Cruz is at 370, so he's not that far behind. You know, he wins one of these states and ties in a couple others. He's there, as far as a tie. But there's 1,400 delegates left to select on the Republican side. So a long way to go, but Super Tuesday 2 coming up.
It's the bottom of the hour. Let's get on top of things with CBS News. You're tuned to All Politics is Local on WCRN.
Let's return to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts on New England's News and Talk Radio, WCRN. Once again, here's your hosts, John Featherston and Terry Hendricks.
Good morning, New England. You're tuned to All Politics is Local on WCRN 830. Check those clocks. It is 11:34 and 30 seconds. Don't forget to spring forward. Hey, we want to thank Chanel Pruner. She's staying on over her allotted time, and we appreciate her doing that. But we do want to get to one of the topics. She is the Massachusetts GOP National Committee Woman. We're going to talk about that little process, and she is up for re-election. So why don't you tell us first how you got to be where you are as a National Committee Woman?
Well, so I was elected in 2013, largely because I had focused on legislative races and had been successful at that. So helping candidates, also for municipal office, down ballot races that had not previously received a lot of attention. I raised hundreds of thousands of dollars in support of individual candidates, organized ground troops for them, hosted fundraisers. I grew our numbers in the legislature because of the work I did. And I'm proud of those efforts. And folks across the divide in our party, so to speak, definitely recognize them as well. In 2014, I helped negotiate a compromise regarding the party platform. So we had a platform that took a step in a conservative direction, but again, it was one that both sides of the divide in the party agreed to. conservative, but still decently middle of the road. And what the result of that is that rather than spending our time lobbying each other and working out amendments and trying to round up the votes one way or the other, members of the state committee were able to focus on elections and the upcoming convention and spent their time doing that as well. It was sort of the opposite of the process that we had with this delegate selection fight that we had last year in the middle of 2015. In that case, there wasn't, people didn't seem to want to compromise. We put forth two plans and people did their lobbying, and the grassroots maintaining the caucus's plan won. And so I'm proud of keeping that caucus system. I'm proud of the platform, and I'm proud of my abilities helping elect legislators and municipal candidates and assisting candidates up and down the ballot. And I'd like to continue that work, and that's what I'm running on.
Before we get out of here, because I think it's an important piece, I know you've worked real hard on the Ending Common Core effort as well, too. I think it's, yeah. And you should probably talk a little bit about that as well.
Oh, so right now the measure is before the legislature, and they will need to either act on it or not act on it. By May 3rd, and assuming that they do not, then there will be another signature gathering phase. I think we need around 11,000 signatures.
Yeah, 12,000.
Yeah, 12,000, yeah. Something along those lines, which should be comparatively easy in comparison to the 84,000 certified signatures we got last fall.
New signatures.
Right, yeah. All new signatures. And then we'll receive our number, so it'll be yes on one or yes on four to End Common Core or whatever number mm-hmm. the Secretary of State's office assigns us, and it'll be forward to the ballot box. And I'm excited that there was recently a WBZ poll regarding how voters are feeling about the ballot question, and 52% of voters right now favor Ending Common Core, compared to only 25% undecided, and the remainder being opposed. So I think the question is in good shape. People just need to continue to tell their neighbors and organize the grassroots in order to keep educating folks about Common Core. So.
Well, I think if anybody takes a look at some of the curriculum that's part of Common Core, they'll scratch their head and go, how does anybody learn anything with this? But there's a lot of money behind Common Core, so that doesn't make it right just because there's a lot of money there. So
one thing I'll never forget is we had Dr. Jean Shansky on our television program, yeah. And you said to her, well, it sounds like they're bought and paid for. And she says, well, you can say that. And your response was, well, I just did. Yeah. And that seems to me what Common Core is. It's bought and paid for supporting that legislation. And it's no good for Massachusetts.
Mm. Well, I think it was a curriculum that was not developed by educators, which I found really very
perplexing.
Interesting. Yeah. So we'll see. But, we've certainly been supporters of the ballot question, to end Common Core. We've had Donna Calorio on the radio here, I don't know.
A couple times.
Yeah, at least. And
fantastic.
Yeah, she's just lived
Donna's
down the street.
Donna's great. Yeah.
Yep. And we've had Dr. Shotsky on our radio, our TV show. And if you want to see those, by the way, they're on our website, All Politics is Local MA. So you can see the TV shows, hear the radio shows, if you're interested in that stuff.
And I also think to kind of relate that back to some of the other things that we've talked about, the petitions like this, whether it's the End Common Core effort or the gas tax petition, are a good opportunity to grow the Republican Party. We should be seizing upon issues like these. We should be encouraging those people to get involved in supporting legislators who support Ending Common Core, in running candidates, and being a part of things that the Republican Party is doing, and whether it's the caucuses or ballot petitions, I want more involvement. I want more grassroots involvement in the party. I would encourage people to go to my website, chanelprunier.com, chanelprunier.com, and sign up and be involved. Even if you've never collected signatures before or been to a town committee meeting, it's important. And I think if you want to have your voice heard, that's a good way to do it.
Thanks for bringing that up. Tank the gas tax. Everybody in this room was actively involved in that. Common Core, we're working on ending Common Core. Getting people involved, if you like Donald Trump or you don't like Donald Trump, at least it's getting people involved. We have a very popular governor of Massachusetts, Charlie Baker. It's all good things. The reason why we started this program is to have a conservative voice on the airways, to support the Republican brand, to have, you know, we're bipartisan. You know, we have quite a few Democrats on the program. We treat everybody fair. We treat everybody nicely. But, you know, there aren't a lot of platforms in the media for conservative voice. So it's a fun time. It's an exciting time. I hope people are paying attention. I hope people come out April 30th to these caucuses. I hope people come to your re-election, your state committee meeting on April 5th. So real quick, because we only have about 2 minutes, let's just talk about your re-election.
Mm-hmm. I think that this race is somewhat about the same thing as some of the state committee races were about to some extent. There really are two competing philosophies about what the state committee's job is. And, you know, what should the Republican Party do? And I think that personally, the state committee has to do a lot of things. It shouldn't be a one-trick pony. State committee members and the state party apparatus should care about issues, should care about down ballot tickets. We should be training people, whether it's campaign managers or activists, to be involved in politics. It's about Republican town committee development and growing local organizations. It's about growing our party enrollment. We're currently only at 11%. And candidate recruitment is another huge thing. And I think that there's, unfortunately, competing philosophy out there that if you don't focus only on the top of the ticket, you're somehow, not with the top of the ticket. And I think that that's a terrible way to look at it, whether the top of the ticket is a Bill Weld, because we've heard this philosophy mm-hmm. before, or a Scott Brown or a Mitt Romney or whoever it is. I think it's important that the Republican Party does a lot of things. And if the Republican Party is centered around one particular candidate, no matter how great that candidate is, unfortunately, sometimes it neglects these other things. And I think we need people in the party leadership and the party infrastructure that are focusing not just on the same thing. And I'd like to bring both sides, people with differing opinions, together, because I think everybody supports the top of the ticket. The question is, what else do you want to do?
Well, look at the name of this program, and we do it with a badge of honor. All politics is local. Mm-hmm. The most important election anybody's ever going to vote on, and you have to drill this down to people, is your local election. Who you
right.
put on your school committee, who you put on your finance committee, your yeah. board of selectmen, is much more important than who you're going to elect as the next president of the United States.
And I'm yeah. very concerned that there are definitely some folks in the party who want to go back to the way we've done things in the past, where almost 100% of the money was spent on one race, and that disadvantaged down ballot candidates that could have been successful if they had had a little bit of support, whether it's training their activists or funding mailings or things of that nature. In 2010, the party did not spend a lot on legislative candidates, and we had some very close misses, and that people that should be elected to office today if their races were properly funded. I think with a lot of new blood on the state committee in 2012, we spent a lot of time and effort helping down ballot candidates in 2012 and 2014. And we have a new state committee, and they have a decision to make about which direction they want to take. Do they want to continue to make investments in building a ground game and in building the ranks in the legislature and municipal offices and things of that nature? Or do they want to save that money and make sure that it goes to the top of the ticket in 2018?
Well, I have noticed that, you know, the state party, the Mass GOP, has a whole bag of tools that mm-hmm. are available to any Republican candidate.
Yes.
Good stuff. There's a staff there, and they're all young people. You know, I think Kirsten might be the oldest person in the office there in Merrimack Street, and she's not old, by the way. Mm-hmm. But a lot of young, bright people are at the Mass GOP with a great tool bag. If you're thinking about running, get in touch with these guys, because they can help you with a lot of things that you don't even think about. So real professional folks, nice to work with, can save you a lot of money and make you a successful for your race, whatever
it is.
Yeah,
they do an excellent job, and there's all sorts of things that, frankly, I think all of us in the party should be learning about social media, about door knocking.
Yep.
And they have a lot of great tools that I think the more trainings that we have, the better.
We got about 10 seconds left. Promote your website.
Oh, absolutely. Again, it's Chanel Prunier, CHANELPRUNIER.com. And for more information about the caucus process, and I'd also urge you to go to massgop.com and redmassgroup.com, which is a blog for conservative discussion.
There you go. You're tuned to All Politics is Local. She's Chanel Prunier, Massachusetts National GOP Committeewoman, up for re-election. And we'll be back after the break.
You're listening to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts on New England's News and Talk Radio, 830 WCRN. Once again, here's your hosts, John Featherston and Terry Hendricks.
Good morning, New England, at 11:48. You're tuned to All Politics is Local on WCRN 830. So an interesting morning. Grover Norquist joined us early in the program, Keiko Oral, and now just recently Chanel Prunier from the Massachusetts GOP committeewoman. Keiko Oral and Chanel Prunier are running against each other in an election process. A lot of divide in the party over this, a lot of anger in the party. I've received some texts in the last couple of minutes that I'm kind of shaking my head at, but that's fine. Hey, we've been very, very candid on this program. Both of us are very much Team Baker. We support the efforts of Team Baker and everything that's going on in the party. I'm 100% behind Governor Baker and what he chooses. He has chosen to endorse Keiko, and I think Keiko will bring a fresh voice to it. But that doesn't discredit the work that Chanel has done in the past. She's done a lot of good work for the party in the past. But I am going to throw my endorsement behind Keiko and, you know, applaud her and try to help her along the way. What are your thoughts on, I think you referred to it as a goat rodeo.
Well, some of it is. Yeah. But the reality is that I think the Republican Party is fortunate to have two good candidates for this. And it's overshadowed, quite honestly, the male version of we do have a male and female delegates to the national committee. But it looks like, our friend there on the male side going to be in there forever.
And that would be Ron Coughlin.
Ron Coughlin, yeah. Ron's been in there for a long time, and I don't think there's anyone running against him at this point. I haven't heard of it. So, we're fortunate to have, I think, two good candidates on the female side. And Ron Coughlin's pretty good, too, by the way.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't want to understate Ron's accomplishments. So, we'll see. Now, it's not an open election. It's only the 80 delegates that can vote. That are on the state party.
And it would seem like, with the support of Governor Baker and his slate of candidates, that it's a foregone conclusion that Keiko Oral has enough votes to win the election. But, I mean, you have to run elections and see how they all plan out. But it's going to be interesting. A lot of people said back and forth, Governor Baker shouldn't have gotten involved. I've been one of saying that if you're the governor, you want people to promote your agenda. I understand it. I hate to see my own party fighting with each other. I believe in the Reagan rule. You never speak ill of another Republican in public. What are your thoughts, Terry?
Well, I agree, but, it's just part of politics that all these things get aired out in the, Boston Globe and the Herald and the radio. And I guess the thing that I found pretty disturbing is that there were some talk radio shows that had some of the state candidates on, and they were knocking some pretty good people. And that bothered me that, a friend of ours is being called a hack. And
absolutely.
That really, quite honestly, angered me. Also frustrated me that I think things had reached a low. Not very happy about that part of it because, quite honestly, and they were referring to Ed McGrath. And Ed's a friend of ours, a good man.
Very good friend.
Given a lot to the party, given a lot to the community and Metro West, especially Framingham where he lives. Talking about him not being conservative, Ed's a pretty conservative guy. So I guess I just found there was a lot of criticism there that was not warranted. And it basically disturbed me a lot. Can I say pissed off on the air? I guess I can.
I think you can because you just did.
I was pissed off.
I think you just did.
Yeah.
But, we need to focus as a party. A lot of friends of ours are on the state committee. Some friends of ours aren't on the state committee. But Governor Baker has proven to the to me, and I hope to most of Massachusetts, that he knows what he's doing. He needs his party to support him. He's supporting Keiko Oral. Let's get behind Governor Baker and support what he wants. because, you know, his goal is to make Massachusetts great. I know it's politically cliche-ish, but you have to realistically think that we're in better shape than we were a year ago, and let's keep that momentum going.
Well, in reality, we're going to be in better shape a year from now than we are today, and we're going to be in better shape 2 and 3 years from now. You know, Charlie, I think he's going to run for re-election, and certainly I think we should hope he does and win again. So, because there's a lot of good things that are going to happen in this state, you know, down the road, things that are in process now that will, you know, bear fruit. The MBTA is going to get better. You know, a lot of things are going to change for the better. So, you know, hang on. It's going to be an interesting ride.
We got to get the economy going, too.
Well, we're at the mercy of, you know, the global economy to certain degree. I didn't read something recently that the employment in Massachusetts is not quite as good as it's been proclaimed. And, you know, the future for employment not only in Massachusetts but across the country is looking a little bleak. It looked like we might head toward a recession, or maybe not as bad as the last one. I certainly hope not. But, you know, things are going to change a little bit because things aren't on the uptick as much as they were. So we'll see. But, you know, maybe we get a good president in and revive the spirit of America. Guess what? You know, we might see the economy growing 4 or 5% a year, which is about the most you want it to grow, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Because after that, you get into some bad things afterwards. So
I mean, we're kind of in the, you know, state committee races have been decided. This Tuesday is the second Super Tuesday number 2. We might be done with the presidential, race on Tuesday. If not, it's probably nearing its end. April 5th, National Committee Woman and Man will be decided by MassGOP. And then the true value of all politics is local here on WCRN and WACA-TV comes into. Because then we're going to be talking the down-the-ticket races.
Yep.
We're going to be talking your state Senate races. We're going to be talking your state rep races. And in my humble opinion, as I've pontificated for a long time, those are the most important races. You've got your selectmen and school committee races coming up in the very, very near future. I think at the end of March, I think we start that cycle as well. We're going to be inviting local selectmen and school committee candidates to come on and give their little stump speech as well. Exciting times.
Well, interesting, in Framingham, there's a young man who announced his candidacy for state senate. And he's 17-year-old Jake Banal. And Jake's been on this program as a young Republican.
And will be again.
But the interesting thing is will be good practice for him. I think his probability of winning is not very high. He's going to run against Karen Spilka, who's, you know, a pretty good candidate. She's an incumbent. So, you know, it's going to be seasoned chairman of the Senate Ways and Committees Committee. In Massachusetts, running against 17-year-old high school senior. I don't know. I find that a tough race.
Yeah. It could be. But, you know, like I said, we'll have Jake on.
Yep.
Hey, it's my favorite part of the program.
And?
Being well, this date in history with Terry Hendricks.
Well, Sunday, March 13th, 73rd day of 2016, 293 days left in the year. You know, a few birthdays today. Neil Sedaka is 77. William Macy, one of my favorite actors, is 66. a few other little things. In 1781, the seventh planet of the solar system, Uranus, was discovered by Sir William Herschel. And, excuse me, in 1865, Confederate President Jefferson Davis signed a measure allowing black slaves to enlist in the Confederate States Army, with a promise they would be set free. And 23rd President of the United States in 1901, Benjamin Harrison, died in Indianapolis at 67. Wow, I'm 67. Anyway, and for all you Vietnam folks, in 1954, the Battle of Dinh Binh Phu began during the First Indochina War as communist forces attacked French troops who were defeated nearly 2 months later. That pretty much ended France's reign in Southeast Asia. Of course, we got to take over, a little bit later. 1980, Ford Motor Company Chairman Henry Ford II announced he was stepping down the same day, and jury in Indiana found the company not guilty of reckless homicide and the fiery deaths of three young women in a Ford Pinto. Remember the Ford Pinto?
I do remember.
Those were good little cars, except just don't get hit in the back.
Because they might explode.
They would explode and you'd be dead. In 2011, the estimated death toll from Japan's earthquake and tsunami climbed past 10,000 as authorities raced to combat the threat of multiple nuclear reactor meltdowns. So anyway, that was a day in history.
And we might be making history this evening, Sunday, March 13th, which is tonight from 4 to 8 at the Sons of Italy Lodge, which is a little bit ironic, on 37 Washington Street in Natick. Come out and celebrate the St. Patrick's Day with the Natick and other Metro West GOP committees for the 6th Annual Corned Beef and Cabbage Dinner. So that's tonight from 4 to 8 at the Sons of Italy Lodge, 37 Washington Avenue, Natick, Massachusetts. Terry and I will be there.
Yeah, not to keep you guys away, but John and I will be there.
Keep them.
I think I'm helping out in the kitchen a little bit.
So there you go. Yeah. That's going to do it for another edition of All Politics is Local here on WCRN. Check us out on the website, allpoliticsislocalma.com, allpoliticsislocalma.com, and we'll talk again next Sunday. You're tuned to All Politics is Local on WCRN 830.
Great weekend, New England.